You're listening to the Social Media Show, sponsored by NILC, a training company providing over 500 business, IT and project management training courses. I'm your host, Jonathan Pollinger, and I'm a social media trainer. In each week's episode of this podcast, I chat with an inspiring personality from the world of business or social media. As well as listening to the podcast, you can watch the show live on Mondays at 9 a.m. on my Facebook page at facebook.com/PollingerSocial, where you can also catch the replay. In episode 29 of the Social Media Show, I chat with Jazz Mino. We talk about her music and how she uses social media to engage with her fans. I hope you enjoy the show. Hello and welcome to the Social Media Show. And a bit croaky this morning, so it's a good job I've got my water with me here. So whether you're watching live on Facebook, watching live on Twitter, watching the replay or listening to the podcast, it's great to have you on board. And fantastic to have Jazz Mino with me this morning. Good morning, Jazz. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. How are you?
Yeah, well, apart from my croaky voice, which you'll hopefully manage throughout the source of the duration of the show, I think I'm okay, thank you. Yes, well-known music artist, when did you first sort of get into music? When did you write your first song?
I wrote my first song, I don't think I even knew I'd written a song, but my gran taught, well, first of all, I started to play violin, and then my gran realized that I didn't know any notes and just was guessing my way through because the violin teacher wasn't very good. So she kind of taught me to play piano, taught me all about the notes. And then from there, I just kind of went off the reading notes and onto my own little thing and just having a bit of a sing song. So I think I was probably like 8 or something when I started.
Wow, okay.
More seriously kind of writing when I was like 12, 13, writing notes then.
Okay, cool. So that's pretty early age to be playing the violin then, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I gave up, which I really shouldn't have done.
Yeah. But you do...
Because every time I used to practice, you'd come in and be like... and it used to really wind me up.
But you do play instruments now as well as sing, though?
Mainly piano, yeah. So I used to, when I first started gigging and things like that, I write all my songs on piano, and when I first started gigging, I used to lug my piano with me, and then I saw one of my really close friend's cousin, we went to a mic night together, and she had this ukulele, and I was like, that seems like a lighter option than a piano. So then I picked that up, and then I started busking with the ukulele, loads and loads and loads, and wrote quite a few of my songs on there as well. But then I got kind of more into the production side of things and more electronic music, because when I first started out, it was a bit more acoustic-y. And then kind of reverted back to playing gigs with piano and kind of making my music with piano and things like that. So mainly piano and ukulele, and I'm starting to learn. I feel like everyone just assumes I can play guitar, and I definitely can't. So I'm starting to learn this year, so... That's cool as well.
Oh, exciting stuff. And you do still bus, don't you, as well?
Yeah, when I can, occasionally. Yeah, I love it. It's great. The main places I kind of busk are the South Bank and the Network Rail, so kind of overground on the like Waterloo, Euston, and places like that. And then sometimes underground, but I try not to do it underground too often, just because I realised that I went through a phase of just getting up really early and then kind of smashing out from 7 till 9 every morning.
Yeah.
And I started to get really ill really often. And I was like, why? And then my friend was like, do you think it might be have something to do with the fact that you're in the underground for 2 hours every day? And then I stopped doing it as much and stopped getting ill. So, yeah.
It's not the best air down there, is it really? So.
No, especially when you're kind of breathing in to sing as well.
That's true. So in terms of inspiration and writing your own songs, how does that actually sort of come about? Do you kind of like just sort of like sit down and it comes to you, or do you sort of collect thoughts and ideas? Do you store those in any sort of way as time goes on, or you know, is it just sort of living your life, or do you just sort of mentally take notes and then there sort of comes a time when you're ready to write a song?
Do you know, there's a few different ways. So my main way, and the way I've always done it, is I have a lyric book and that I carry around with me everywhere. So if I think of when I think of kind of good lines, it's normally either where when I've given my brain just the space to think a little bit. So if I'm on a run and I'm not really doing anything, or if I'm out for a walk or something, that's when I'll think of things and be like, oh, that's really good, and write it in my lyric book. But there's a few ways. I make sure that at least twice a week I kind of have a day dedicated to just sitting down, messing about on the piano, writing and playing with sounds. There's something that I use quite often Splice. And that has loads of different sounds that people have basically uploaded on, and then you can take them and manipulate them and things like that. So that's really
okay. Cool. Yeah.
And then I also set up, I have a few writers, top liners, which top liner, for those of you who don't know, is kind of like writing melody and lyrics. So I have a few songwriters that I work with quite a lot as well. And we'll kind of set up sessions and get together in a studio with a producer and kind of bounce around ideas. And I'll be like, this is how I'm feeling, this is what I'm really annoyed about at the moment. And then we'll basically write a song about it. And so a few different ways, really.
Cool. So I'm glad you explained that top liner thing, because I saw that on one of your posts the other day and I hadn't got a clue what it meant. So probably should have asked you at the time. But there you go. You got some content for another social media post there to explain some of these music terms.
You know, you say, yeah, I didn't really think about that. And then my mum said, I think she was watching one of my Patreon posts, and she was like, oh, I really like it. And then she written down a list of things of like, so what's this? What's top line? And I was like, because you're so immersed in the industry, you don't really always think about, oh, and it's probably the same with you and what you do, but you don't always think about things that people just probably won't know, but you're constantly doing it. It's just in your brain, is that.
Every industry's got its jargon. It's true.
Yeah.
So you mentioned Patreon there, which is a new venture for you. I mean, some people won't understand what that is. Do you want to quickly explain how that works?
Yeah. So Patreon is basically, I found the easiest way to describe it is that it's like crowdfunding or Kickstarter, but rather than kind of supporting someone by giving them like a one-off payment. The difference between crowdfunder and Patreon is that Patreon is a monthly subscription to support the artist or creative that you like in return for whatever they want to give. So, for example, mine's $4 a month, and then people get weekly exclusive videos and kind of get to see like everything that I post on Instagram and things early. So I think that's the easiest way to describe it. But I'm really, really enjoying it because it's a space for me. I always get scared when posting things on Instagram, that especially my own songs, that people might steal ideas. I'm sure that's ridiculous, but
well, they might what, sorry?
They might steal ideas or something.
Okay, yeah, no, fair enough.
Because everyone does it. So I tend to post like little snippets of my writing, but then it's nice to have a space on Patreon for all my kind of friends and closer fans that really want to be involved with what I'm doing. And I can be like, this is my new song. What do you think? And I've been doing that a lot recently. It's really nice to hear the feedback. And then obviously I can go through and look and kind of make a decision on what's, you know, what they all like best as well. So it's really great to just connect on a more, you know, personal level. It's really nice.
Yeah, it's interesting how you use the word connect there, because I think you might be taking it more than further Patreon than a lot of other people, because all the stuff you're saying there about getting people's opinions and stuff, I think a lot of people, whatever sort of artist they are, poet, writer, whatever, they're kind of like seeing it as an exchange of money for their content. But I think for you it's more than that, isn't it, like you're saying, because you're, in fact, you're even going as far as to say that you're
subscribers on there, patrons, I never really know what to call them, I don't think you do either, but your patrons on there, they're kind of like, we'll even have a say in terms of what your next single's going to be. I mean, that's pretty amazing that you're giving that sort of power back to your community there.
Yeah, and I think it's really important, because in the end of the day, your friends, well, friends who are into music and your fans and followers, they're the people that are listening to your music. So I think it's really important that they can see what direction you're going in and be a part of that. And I just think it makes everyone, me and all my followers, just feel way more connected. So that's really important for me, really important.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of like an illustration, I guess. I'm not an expert on the music industry, but from an outsider's point of view, it used to be sort of like record companies that controlled everything, and you've completely kind of like turned that on its head and spun that around. So, correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think you are with a record company at the moment. So is that a conscious decision in terms of sort of being independent and doing your own thing?
Yeah, I mean, it was, you know, at first I really wanted to release stuff. No, I don't think I even did. No, I didn't really approach any major label, really. I had, I released my first couple singles officially on Spotify and Apple Music and things, which were a little song I wrote called The Love of You and a song called Crush. It's a cover of, by Jennifer Page. And that went really, really well, mainly because I was busking and one of the senior editors of Spotify saw me busking and then, you know, tweeted about me. I saw that he tweeted about me and then I sent him an email and was like, this is my new song. And he playlisted and was really supportive of me, which helped quite a few cool things happen. It just helped to kind of circulate and get my name out there a bit. And then I signed a 3-single deal to an independent label called Humble Angel Records for my next 3 singles.
All right, yeah.
And then I did a feature. I wrote to this, I'm quite into it, as well as kind of chilled pop and the stuff that I do. I'm also quite into like that Swedish melodic-y EDM style. So I wrote to a few producers that I really liked and I said, oh, you know, this is me, this is my stuff, and I'd love to feature on one of your tracks. And Hoglund, who I did the feature with, got back and said, oh, I really love your voice. Here's my single, like, I'd love you to write over it. And yep. And then we released that, and honestly, it's done so well that I'm really excited to release, but I'm also like slightly intimidated.
I mean, you say it's done quite well. I mean, that's a bit of an understatement. How does it feel to have a track that's been downloaded, I think it's about 10.5 million times on Spotify now?
It's really crazy. Yeah. So hopefully my singles, when I release them, will go the same way. Who knows? But yeah, in terms of labels, which is what we were talking about, Well, nothing official has happened, but I'm supposed to be, I've got an offer with, so a lot of people, again, don't know, that I would just assume. So there's kind of major labels, and then there's a lot of independent labels that are supported by major labels. So they'll kind of, they'll get a say, they'll A&R it, find their artists and things like that. And then they have a smaller budget, they take less of a percentage than a major would when they sign an artist, but they've got that support from the major if they do well. So yeah. I've had a couple of offers of that kind over from like October to December, got a few offers, and I'm just deciding whether I'm going to do that, because labels do take a big percentage, or whether I'm just kind of going to go the Crush way and release independently. Because with Crush, not to get into too many statistics, but the self-released label I went with, they take 15%, whereas if you go with an independent, like the one I talked about, they normally take at least 50%.
Wow, so
big. So if you can do it on your own, which obviously is much harder work to do on your own, if you can do it on your own, then, I mean, you're laughing, really. and one of my favorite artists who I go on about all the time. So if you follow me, then you'll know who I'm talking about. Actually released on released independently first, and his song hugely blew up. And that, I don't know if he's still signed. I think he might be signed to a major now. But if you kind of go that way and you're doing really, really well, and the major comes to you, then you've obviously got a little bit more say in.
Sure.
You know, actually, I don't want you to take that much percentage of my music. So it just really depends. But right now, I think definitely either completely independently, or with kind of an independent under a bigger label. I think they're my main options, really.
Sure.
Decision time actually literally within the next week. So
okay. We'll see what happens. Exciting times. So with that sort of like independent route, like you say, doing the work yourself, a lot of that is going to involve social media. So how important would you say social media has been in your musical journey in terms of getting yourself out there? I mean, great that you had the luck of being spotted by Spotify on the street, so that kind of like shows the power of busking and getting out there for real. But anything kind of, how would you say social media has sort of worked alongside that?
I think, if I'm completely honest, I think it's been the other way for me, because I know that a lot of people establish a lot of followers and then they get those followers to kind of change over to Spotify. I think it's been the other way really for me. Like, most of my followers on Instagram, I think, are because of my music rather than they've followed me because they like me and then they've discovered my music. I mean, there's definitely been a lot over the years, but I think it's mainly the busking. I did like a school tour as well, which was really fun.
And just
putting out music, and because I don't know if you know, but on Spotify, when you can go to an artist's profile, it is linked there with their Instagram.
Yeah.
So quite a few people have found me like that. It's been the other way around for me, really. But social media is a really great place, you know, that when you've got those followers, which is why I think a lot of people follow me on Instagram, is, you know, it's an easy place to just share your stuff, let them know what you're up to, let them know that you're still alive and you're still doing music. Because when you're writing, like I'm writing loads at the moment, especially being independent, you don't really have time to be posting every day to, you know, you could be doing so many things, but you've got to really focus on, you know, what you need to be doing at this time, which for me is writing. But there's, I mean, I love social media though, it's great, and it's such a nice place to connect with all my fans and followers, really.
Yeah. Nevertheless, like you say, you've always got a lot on your plate, but you do seem to find a fair bit of time. You know, it's quite something to be able to update Instagram stories pretty much every day, I would say you do. So
yeah.
It's good to sort of have a behind the scenes point of view, I think, from a fan rather than a social media expert's kind of viewpoint.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, you know, I definitely post on my stories every day because that's more kind of chill. And, this is what I'm up to. Whereas I see my feed as like a little mood board of me as an artist. And I'm really into colour, and it's kind of shows my colour palette and just a little bit more of where I see myself. And, you know, my vision really is what I... It's like a little mood vision board, my main feed, and then my story is just me like, hey. So it's nice to split them up. But yeah, I think. I went through a phase in December of like posting nearly every day on my feed. And I was working with a few photographers at the time, which was really fun. And then January came and I thought, yeah, I need to write more. I need to start writing again. So yeah, it's just balancing everything out, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
But I think that whole the stories thing is probably the most important thing, really, letting people know that you still exist and what you're up to, and then you know, messaging you and replying to stories and things is already important.
Yeah, it's interesting you say that, because I've noticed that one or two music stars lately, they kind of on who'd also do Instagram stories, they've actually switched off the ability for fans to reply, and I think that's kind of talking now as a social media person rather than a, well, I suppose as a fan as well. I think that's a real shame, because it's nice to be able to have that communication. And at the end of the day, it's just this, to hear your view on this, but at the end of the day, you know, you've got the choice as the artist whether to respond or not. I know there's quite a bit of time involved with that, but I think for the fans, it's great that there is that possibility to be able to sort of like reach out and give their point of view and interact with you.
I agree. I think it's really important, because it's obviously you're focused on what you do, but it's always good to get other people's opinion, especially from people that, you know, that follow you. And I mean, cutting that connection off, I feel like no one's going to get offended if you don't reply. I mean, people aren't going to be like, oh, she didn't reply because she's annoyed with me or she doesn't like me. I think people are going to assume that you're busy. And I always try and, there's things I miss, obviously, but I always eventually, you know, try and reply. And I think I'm pretty good at it. But I think the one reason I would say from my side of it, why people might turn them off, because I used to, when I released Crush, and it did really well on YouTube as well. Again, I think it's got like, I don't know, like over 1 million streams on YouTube, Crush. And I got a lot of hate, and I never really had that before. People that I don't know. So I think that might be why people turn it off, because you, as well as your fans, you get a lot of people just randomly hating on you. Like the amount of things I used to do this really fun thing where people would request covers, and I'd just do like little a cappella things on my stories. Used to do it all the time, and I stopped, which I really shouldn't have done. I should have continued, but the reason I stopped is because I got literally so many replies like, you're so rubbish, you don't deserve to be where you are, like there's so much jealousy and toxicity around social media, as well as the positive. And I think the positive definitely outweighs the negative. But I imagine that's why probably a lot of people have turned it off, because they're just like, I need to focus and I can't deal with that, which is a shame for the positive fans, because...
Yeah, exactly.
You know, yeah.
But yeah, that's it's good to hear it from an artist's point of view. So... Facebook and Twitter, do you see those as different from Instagram in terms of how you use them? And are they as important as Instagram?
I think Twitter, I just more say what I think, you know, that's in my head, like random things. Mm-hmm. I use it a little bit to talk about my music, my Patreon and things, but sorry, I'm still a little bit bummed up. But I think Twitter for me is more of a personal thing, just chatting again, engaging with fans, being silly. And, you know, I follow a lot of people on Twitter that I find really inspiring, so just retweeting things.
Yeah.
Retweeting a lot about mental health and about fitness and running and things like that. So stuff that I'm into more personally, I think, is how I use Twitter.
Sure.
And which with Facebook... Facebook, I pretty much do similar to Instagram. My fan base on Facebook and my fan base on Instagram, they cross over a little bit, but because I've had Facebook for longer, mainly on my Facebook, I've got all of my busking fans, and they tend to be a little bit older than my Instagram fans. So I would never just, you know, because they say like, oh, Facebook's dying out, and I don't know if there's truth in that, but for me, it would be a shame, because there's a lot of people that follow me and support me on Facebook that don't have Instagram and don't ever use it. So I just always make sure whatever I'm doing on Instagram, I'm making sure I'm doing that on Facebook as well. And again, in terms of DMs, like I repost my Instagram stories to like the Facebook stories as well. So again, I get a lot of DMs on Facebook as well from completely different fans. And if I didn't engage with it in the same way, then they kind of wouldn't get that. So yeah, sure. I'm on all three, really.
Cool. So yeah, I can assure you that Facebook isn't dying out, and even the thing about younger people moving over to Instagram, Twitter, Snapchat, TikTok and stuff. Whilst it's true to a degree, Facebook's still sort of very much holding its own according to all the recent stats. So I think your fan base will continue to grow over there. How many fans have you got? How many likes have you got on your Facebook page?
I think about 5,000.
Yeah, yeah. So that's about half Instagram, isn't it? So
yeah,
but still a sizable number.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what were you going to say?
I was going to say, I think the one I understand least is Twitter, because I seem to lose followers by the day on Twitter. I don't know if I do.
No, it's the same for everybody. The turnover on Twitter is faster for followers than any other social network. So it's not you. It's just it's just how it works. But yeah, there's more to it, as you say. Like you're using it how most people use it, in the sense that it's very much about pulling in information and reading the news and getting stuff back in terms of the things that you're interested in, so as well as getting your own stuff out there. So that the followers sort of side of things doesn't really come into it then, because it's you going out and getting information. So in terms of paid advertising, because all the social networks do offer advertisements now, have you ever ventured down that route to promote anything in particular?
I've had a little bit of success with it. I think mainly with some of my videos, when I first started doing videos with one of my friends, Clayton, who's a producer. So he produces a lot of my music. And then we also started doing videos together, because he plays guitar and he's in my band as well. So if you've seen me live, then you will have probably seen him too. So we started doing videos, I think last summer, and we did the first one. And we did it through IGTV, and then we shared it through.
Yeah.
And it did pretty well. And then I thought, oh, this is great. I want to promote it and kind of get more reach, which is another way I've got Instagram followers as well. So I'll talk about this a little bit more. But I couldn't promote it, because I think a fault with Instagram, they should be able to let you really, if you post from IGTV, it doesn't seem, I don't know if they've changed that now, I've not tried it recently, but it doesn't seem like you can promote those posts, which is a real shame. So in terms of videos, again, not so much, I've not really ventured that much into Facebook advertising, maybe I should, but in terms of Instagram, I've promoted a couple of videos here and there, and which has gone really well. And I've also done a few collaborations with different brands with the videos, and then they've promoted them and seen really good results as well. So Instagram promotion and video promotion, I think that's worked well for me. I think it's really great. And it's got people to kind of click through, like my other stuff, follow me, and then click on my Spotify, which is always in my bio, and then be like, oh, I've just discovered you and you're great. So I think promoting on Instagram, it can be tough at first, because you have to kind of work out, obviously it's easier for me, but work out where your audience is and where it sits and who's the most responsive, really. Advertising Patreon on Instagram has been a challenge. That's just encouraging me really to get more creative about how I do it. And I'm just using it as a new fun challenge that I'm gonna overcome.
Yeah,
advertising in general is really good.
And I spotted at the weekend that you're sort of starting to do kind of teaser videos to try and get people over to Patreon.
Well, yeah, my last one was a bit of a joke.
New tactic.
So basically, to people that haven't seen it, I posted a video. But it didn't even, it had the guitar intro and that had me going as I'm about to sing, and then I stopped it and I said the full video. Which was a bit mean, because one thing that I really don't want to do is act like I don't appreciate my followers on Instagram. But I think most people would know I'm being pretty silly about that.
Yeah.
But one thing that I'm finding really challenging is balancing everything with the writing, posting on Patreon, I'm posting on Instagram as well, because, you know, obviously people just see it and they're like, oh, that's really nice, but it, you know, it takes a while. First you've got to write the song, then you've got to amend it, and then record it, and then edit it as well afterwards, make it all sound nice, make it all look nice. So it's time consuming, and I'm loving with Patreon, because I've said I'm going to post every week. It's really pushing me to be like, oh, okay, I need to write more, and that's really great. And but it is tough to do it with Instagram as well. So I think in the future, what I'm going to be doing is posting little actual snapshots of things, and then saying, oh, you know, if you want to see the full thing, or if you want to download the MP3, then it's on my Patreon. So that seems like the most seamless thing to do. I just need to get brave enough to put my actual songs out on Instagram and get away with this crazy fear that people are going to steal them.
Sure. So amazingly, we're on half an hour already, but a couple of other things I want to ask you, and also take the opportunity to see if anybody else is anybody watching has got any questions. So do post in the comments if you have a question for Jazz or me. You can post on Facebook if you're watching over on Twitter or listening to the podcast, because the comments will always be there on Facebook, so that's the best place to ask a question. And even if it's after the show, we'll get back to you with an answer. So do ask us anything about music or social media. So you mentioned being brave there just a second ago. Have you done any sort of Instagram live or Facebook live at all, in terms of either, I don't know, talking to camera or maybe even playing a song and that sort of stuff?
Yeah, I used to Facebook Live. I used to do all the time. That was around the crush time, and I I got kind of trolled on there quite a lot, and I just thought, this isn't worth it. I'm not doing it. Instagram Live, I've not really delved into. I've done a couple of times, and I've done it quite a few times when I've been in the studio recording vocals, just switched on live then.
Yeah.
So people can kind of see me working away. I do things like that, but it's something I do need to explore more and think, okay, well, you know, I've got my feed, I've got my stories, I've got my Patreon, what more can I offer on my on my Instagram lives, really? Like Q&As and things are good. And Patreon also has a live element. Send to all my patrons, and I can get if I get 75 patrons by the end of February, then I'm going to do like a little live gig and preview of my next couple of
months. Oh wow!
So that would be good. Really, really cool.
Yeah, I will. I'll look forward to that. So how's the target doing? So where are we now? 10th of February. How many are you on now?
We are on. We're on 26 right now.
That's not bad, because it can't be going more than, what, about a month, something like that?
Yeah, it's been about a month, and I think when I launched, I only had like 5, and I thought, okay, let's change the tactic up a bit. And then within the time space of, I was a bit like, oh, maybe this wasn't the right decision, but still, at least I can post every week and things like that. And then just the more I talked about it, I think within the time space of a couple of weeks, it went from like 5 to 20, and I was like, okay,
got a bit of momentum.
It's doing really well, and I think it's just more about what I've realized. Most people don't know what Patreon is, and you have to explain, and just getting them on board with it, and asking and chatting to people, and just answering the questions about it and things, and posting about it has really worked. Yeah. So I'm just gonna keep doing that, and fingers crossed, we'll hit 75 by the end of February.
Sounds like a plan. So just one final thing. If people want to find out more about you and want to listen to your music, where are the options, where are the best places for them to go to do that?
Well, if you want to find out more, listen to my music, probably Spotify, Apple Music, Google Play, Amazon Music, all of them really, they're on everything, iTunes. You can find all my music on there. A lot of it is on YouTube as well, in YouTube Music.
Yeah.
And if you want to find more about me and my personality, Instagram, Twitter, if you want to find more about kind of the behind the scenes stuff of how I write and my creative process, Patreon. So it depends what, even if you want access to everything, then follow me everywhere, really.
lots of possibilities, though.
Yeah.
So one final question. If you were to go for a glass of red wine, because I've heard you're partial, like me, to the occasional glass of red wine, with any living person, who would that be and why? What would you chat about?
It would be, without a doubt, my favourite artist, who is Lauv, and he was the guy I was talking about before that released independently. I just find him really, I just think all his songs are amazing, and his lyrics, just without sounding really cliche, really speak to me. And his voice is so beautiful, and he's got so many intricacies within his voice. And on top of that, again, because I follow him on social media, he's just really, really silly and just doesn't take himself too seriously. So I feel like we'd get on well. I would chat about everything, really, and maybe ask him if he wanted to write a song with me.
good choice, and sounds like an interesting conversation as well. Jasmine O, thank you very much for being on the show.
Oh, thank you for inviting me. It was lovely to chat.
Thank you for listening to the Social Media Show, sponsored by NILC. If you'd like to know more about how social media can help your business, organisation or charity, please visit my website at pollingersocial.co.uk, or you can find me on social media at pollingersocial.
I hope you've enjoyed this series of the Social Media Show podcast, but the show is now going to take a break. If you'd like to contact me, you can of course find me on social media at pollingersocial.co.uk.